This is Talking Business. I'm joined now by Anthony Hart, who's an author, speaker, and the founder of something called Life Back Tracker and Workplace Wellbeing Workshops. G'day, Anthony. Thanks for joining us.
G'day, Alan. Good to be with you.
Now, your story begins, in a way, well, at least this part of your story, begins with a suicide attempt. So tell us about that.
Look, I'll touch on the start. This is the 5% piece. And so I was 28. I'm currently 43. So I was 28 years old. Just returned back from a three-year working stint in the UK. Quite successful in career over there. Happy, gorgeous fiancé. Decided to move back into Adelaide in March 2003. Arrival back into Adelaide was great at the start, networking with all my old friends, struggling to get back in, and I started to very quickly compare myself to my peers and to where they were at professionally. And then over a very short period of time, probably a month and a half, 2 months, started to lose confidence. Decision-making started to go.
Had you had any history before that of anxiety or depression?
No, I hadn't. So I'd never saw it coming. Decision-making was irrational. It was very reactive. I then went through a period of refraining from going out socially. So very social in my past life, group of probably 10 or 12 good friends. Suddenly, I wasn't going out. If I did go out, I would socially drink extra to mask that ability for any of my mates to see that I wasn't doing so great. Decision-making got terribly bad to the point where I suppose I then started to ruminate and things were going around in my head. Inability to be able to sleep was gone probably in October that year. And mums being mums can tell when their boys aren't right, said, look, I think it's probably got time to go to the GP, which I did. I can still remember sitting in the waiting room working out how to pitch it to the GP to let her know that I wasn't well, but I wasn't going crazy and needed further help. So within 9 minutes, I got prescribed an antidepressant, which is what I was after. I left that. I then secured a job in Sydney. A bank who interviewed me back in March that year could see something in my currency trading and car importing career in London, and they gave me a job in Adelaide with an induction for a month in Sydney. And I recall being in Adelaide Airport the week to go over there, and I was mentally in a very bad spot. But the male thing being that you're tough, you get on with it, I took that flight. I spent 9 nights in Sydney. On the ninth night of having between 1 and 3 hours sleep, Alan, I was deluded. I was deliriously tired in the training course. At about 3 o'clock on the Friday in North Sydney, got sent home from the training course at the bank, back to my hotel, lied in the hotel for 2 hours in the bed.
Well, sent home because of being sent home, you mean?
Well, my employer had...
They figured out that you weren't doing well.
Look...
Had you been fired at that point?
I'd just been sent home casually at 3 o'clock.
Okay.
They believed I probably looked like I was hungover, and I was wobbling around the training course.
Right.
And so I went back into the city, lying in the hotel room at about 7 o'clock. I finally pick up the phone to ring the GP back in Adelaide. GP was busy with a client. I hung up. I then tried again. The call got disconnected. I then put my board shorts on to go swimming to burn out that anxiety and stress. And so I took the elevator to the top of the building, 21 stories, planning to go for a swim. I got distracted. I walked past the pool to the edge of the building, climbed over the glass rail and jumped.
Which was 21 stories.
21 floors. 11 stories down, obviously I survived. It was my day. There was a jutted out balcony with one of those canvas awnings pulled out. And I hit into that, bounced onto level 10 and I survived.
So how long, you must have been badly injured though.
I was. It was a good week and a half, 2 weeks. I was in a couple of days in a self-induced coma, and a good 2 or 3 years worth of rehab to get myself out of that. But what brings us together today is that in that journey, when I came back to Adelaide, every month or so, close mates of mine, males, would come and meet me for a coffee, and they would start to open up and tell me how bad they were going mentally, because they feel they could entrust a story in me. And they'd always say to me...
Well, because you'd understand.
Because I'd understand. And they always kind of said, Hardy, we weren't as bad as what you are, but I'm going for these early signs. And so I'd start to write down my 4 simple steps that I was commissioned to do effectively to get back on track. And that was what developed into my life back tracker, which is my 4 principles. And so I'd sit down with
so
you.
So what are the 4?
So for example, Alan, if you came in, I would sit down, touch on the triggers a little bit, but I would then start to write down the 4 things, being alcohol. And I would say to you at the start, cut out the alcohol completely, and getting back into a better space of mind is going to be far easier to achieve. Step number 2, exercise. Cardio, high heart rate exercise for at least 40 minutes, 3 to 4 times a week. The 3rd thing is sleep, getting good, consistent sleep on an ongoing basis. And the 4th thing being the most important bit, which is talking and connecting. And so what I'll instill in people is, apart from telling me, I would ask them to look in their network of 8 to 10 friends and confide in one person that they can open up to.
Not a professional person. You're not talking about a counselor.
Not a professional. Someone in their network that they can trust to share the story, and then immediately at the same time go straight to a medical professional. I've no qualifications to give any advice, but all I do say is that go to your GP as your first point of call and be honest and open with them. The GP had no idea, Alan, how I was feeling.
Well, because you weren't open with them.
No, I wasn't open. So I was selling myself that things weren't that bad. And she, I'd known her for 20 years. For me as a male, to go in there and cry.
But it doesn't sound like, I mean, my understanding, I don't know much about it, but my understanding, most suicides plan it. And it doesn't sound like you planned it. That
no,
was more an impulsive act.
From I've spoke to over 4,000 people. I've done about 45 talks. And as I've interacted with those people, from my assessment, 25, 30% of those who lose their life to this illness weren't in a conscious frame of mind to be able to make that decision. That seems impossible to comprehend, but...
No, not really.
But from 9 nights of no sleep, for example, your decision-making is so erratic. And I only ever say to people and to audience that I wanted the pain each day to get through that day was so unbearable. Physical pain in comparison to mental pain is it 3, 4, or 5 times as hard to get over. And so that's what set me on my path.
You've now turned it into a life, right? In a sense, you turned your death into a life. Tell us what that life involves. Is it a business?
It is a business now. So it's a commercial, social good business. And through 5 years of doing this, since 2007, doing talks every 2 or 3 months as a very low-level philanthropist.
Who to?
To farmers, rural, agri, commercial businesses that employ... large-scale manufacturing, where there's majority of men. And so I got asked to go out and tell the story and then talk about the way back. And so the tool which I developed and I gave out for nothing is an early intervention tool that anyone can grab the second they're confronted with those little life challenges.
What do you mean a tool? What is it actually?
It's effectively a tracker. So the tracker gets you each day to track these 4 things.
Is it online?
It will be in the future, and at the moment now it gets you to track on a daily basis. The power of the written word is incredible. It gets you each day to track your exercise alcohol, and your sleep, and then ask these general 8 questions, which are early stage anxiety depression questions.
And the questions are, I'm emotional and teary, my thoughts are racing, I fear bad things will happen, I'm constantly worried, small things trigger aggression, I'm nervous to jittery and jittery, I'm really happy and content, I feel sad and flat. And so what are you asking for a tick against across?
Your score between 1 to 4. So 1 is that you're lowly, you're low anxious or disagree, to 4 being that you agree or you're highly anxious. And so this was a process that is common in what they call cognitive behavioural therapy through counselling.
Yeah.
So it's a process that effectively gives you a chance to be able to see, upon reflection, you'll be able to see the effect that these three
things... Oh, so it turns into a chart that you can track your life.
It does.
That's why it's called the life tracker.
That's why it's called the tracker. So everything has to comply to numbers, and it has to be...
I quite like a good chart, you know.
You do. I watch your charts on Channel 2. It has to be quantifiable by data. And one of my big passions in this space is to not just go out there and talk about the 5% of the story, which is the story, but to give a positive message and a very powerful tool that anyone can use. And so during that rehab period, went on to build a successful family business with my father and brother, building up a retail business in Adelaide. And it's allowed me now from February to then go off on this new journey and build a health and well-being business around mental health and probably focusing more on the male side in the initial stages.
Well, good on you for coming in and telling us your story, Anthony. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you.
I've been talking to Anthony Hart, author, speaker, and founder of Life Backtracker.